Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a brand new podcast where today we are here, yes, episode 46 of Knowing Wheel. As always, I'm joined by Jamie183. How are we doing, mate?
I'm good, yeah. Excited for the weekend coming up.
I know.
For no particular reason.
No, exactly. Can't think of anything cool that's coming up in the world around us. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a weird winter, hasn't it, Jamie? The first 6 weeks kind of flew by. And then the second half of the winter break has really dragged on, hasn't it? And
yeah.
I've been missing Formula 1.
Yeah, ever since, like, the car reveal started, it has felt pretty slow.
Yes.
I think up until that point, we were still discussing what happened in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
And then since then, it's kind of been a bit dead. But we've made it. We've made it through.
We have. We've survived off-season. Once again, back with more Formula 1. But as always, though, of course, if you are interested in listening to the podcast and you're on YouTube, there will be links down below to Spotify. We just quickly want to say a massive thank you as well. We've now hit 1,000 streams on the podcast over there. You know, it's small numbers, but we're slowly building up. And yeah, we cannot thank you guys enough for all the continued support. Of course, as well, if you're interested in picking up some F1 merch, I'm repping Alfa Romeo gear today, Jamie. Are you repping anything?
No, I'm not.
Nope.
I've got some pictures behind me, like always.
Yeah, fair enough.
As far as it goes.
But yeah, of course, if you want to check out Formula 1 merch, there'll be links to that. And of course, links to everything else, you know, Manscaped and everything like that down in the comments below as well there. But Jamie, today, it's the big one. F1 2022 season predictions. We kind of did one of these in the winter, but we're doing our proper super serious one now. You know, maybe I won't be putting Williams in P5.
Yeah,
but
maybe not.
Before we get into that, though, we've got a couple of other little things to get on with, don't we?
Yes, little bits of news that dripped through throughout the week. Firstly, the confirmation out of nowhere, kind of, I thought, because this time last week we were basically guaranteeing that Hülkenberg had the Haas seat.
Yep.
And he didn't.
Nope.
I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday last week.
Yes, yeah. It wasn't long after we did a podcast.
Yeah, they announced Kevin Magnussen as the second driver at Haas, which... It did sort of come out of nowhere a little bit. He wasn't really in the running. And then,
no.
But when you think about it, it does make quite a bit of sense.
Yes.
Because he was kind of forced out for some money in 2020, for 2021, obviously. So, yeah, it's good that they're still on good terms. I quite look forward to seeing him back. Like, he's a bit... I don't like him massively because he's a bit of a...
him because of one comment he made to Nico Hülkenberg.
No, it's
honest.
Not even that. He's just completely disrespectful on track a lot of times.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It does make it quite funny. That's what it, like, yeah.
I mean, he's an interesting character, isn't he, K-Mag?
Yeah.
On the one hand, sometimes you're absolutely rooting for him. Other times, you want him banned from the sport, but...
Like, it always sticks in my memory, if you remember the end of the race at Nürburgring, the last time they raced there. Where Vettel, like, pushed off Magnussen at turn 3 on the outside. So K-Mag just launched it up the inside of the next corner with no hope of making the corner at all just to make a point. It's stuff like that where he's just a bit crazy, but it does make it entertaining.
Yeah, exactly, so. Exactly. He always adds a bit of spice, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think always the big one for me was his block on Charles Leclerc at Suzuka, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That one was dangerous. Not good.
No, not at
but
all.
That being said, though, he's had a weird sort of off-season away from Formula 1. He's obviously done a bit in America and everything like that last year. Was meant to be doing the Peugeot Le Mans programme this season round, but of course that's immediately gone in the bin. But yeah, he's back in Formula 1. Mm. Very intrigued to see how he's going to stack up now against Mick Schumacher.
Yeah. I think that's really good as well that we've actually got
a proper benchmark
for
Mick.
A barometer for how good Schumacher actually is.
Because I think... Yeah, this is always the question as well that's now raised more and more. how bad the Haas car was when it was still Kevin and Roman.
Mm,
whether that car was complete egg and they were kind of dragging it up the order a bit more. Because let's
Grosjean
be
and Magnussen weren't bad.
On like, their day, they were quick drivers. And I think a lot of people forgot this because they tend to crash into each other a lot.
And other people as well.
But
yeah, I'm interested to see how they do. It looks like Haas have got a respectable-ish car from testing.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can fight a little bit more than they did last year.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we'll get onto that in just a moment, won't we? A couple of other little things from winter testing, though. We're not really going to sort of talk about it too much today. You know, as we've made the point before, it doesn't really mean a huge amount still. You know, everyone's dropping the bags of sand all around the desert, everything like that. But the really big interesting talking point, of course, was the zero side pod Mercedes that suddenly romped up.
Yeah, which is very curious. I do like how much variation we see in each car design. It is pretty cool. Obviously, neither of us are aerodynamicists, and neither is the opinions of Twitter, who all claimed that that side pod design means Mercedes have won the next 10 years of F1.
Yep.
It's probably gone worse for them since they put the side pods on, I think, but we'll have to wait and see if it actually makes them unbeatable. But obviously, Red Bull and Ferrari have their own very unique side pods as well, so it waits to be seen which one is the best.
And the thing is as well, there's no guarantee Mercedes are actually going to use those side pods anyway.
Yeah, it could just be a red herring and they go back to the Barcelona spec car.
Yes, yeah, you never really know for sure. And again, this is why we don't tend to talk about winter testing all too much, unless, of course, you get something cool like that. I guess the other big news from last week, Jamie, Drive to Survive Season 4 dropped, and we haven't seen any of it. Or you've seen a couple of episodes.
I've seen the first two.
Yeah.
The first one was incredibly underwhelming.
Okay.
The second one was all right. So there you go.
Okay. I have not watched any of it yet, and I'm not 100% sure I will. I probably will at some point. But
yeah, you're going to at some point, aren't you?
I haven't watched it just yet, so we won't be talking about DTS anytime soon on this podcast. I guess the last tiny little thing we jump into, of course, before we get into the proper nitty-gritty of today, was just the weird announcement about Oscar Piastri, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was very strange. With Ricciardo suffering from COVID, I don't think McLaren actually... Do they have a registered... Well, they do now, don't they? They signed Colton Herta to be the registered reserve driver for McLaren. Yeah. But weirdly, Alpine were like, yeah, you can have Piastri. Like, they should have said that when Haas had a spare seat, really.
Exactly! This is what I didn't understand.
Yeah, it was very bizarre.
Yeah, just... Oh, I mean, Alpine just come across more and more each year as a backwards team. I say that as I immediately go and look at where I put them on my championship order. But yeah, we'll wait and see about that. Now, this year, Jamie, last year, of course, when we went through our 2021 championship predictions, we just went with the teams. Now, if you're listening to this on Spotify, things are probably going to get a bit complicated today, let's be honest. This year, we're upping the ante a bit. And we are going to be talking each team where we think they're going to be, but we're also going to be predicting all 20 drivers in the F1 2022 championship as well. I mean, it might immediately become 21 if Ricciardo isn't well enough already back, and therefore I'm going to put Oscar Piastri right at the top of my predictions. But yeah, we're going to be trying to rank all 20 drivers as well as we head into the new season. So what we're going to do, to try and make this somewhat simple, we're going to talk about each team. We're going to go from last year, up to the top of last season's Constructors' Champions.
Reverse order from last season.
Exactly. That's probably a better way of wording it. And yeah, we're going to be trying to predict where they're going to be in 2022. And then, of course, as the season goes on, we're going to see who gets this right and who gets this wrong. Now, I'm right in believing, Jamie, I thrashed you last year, didn't I?
I mean, I wouldn't say thrashed.
I think.
I think what we basically had the same order for all but one team, I think, or like two teams swapped, and it just happened that you got those two right. So it was like 6-4 overall.
I'm pretty certain 6-4 was, and I think in any rule book that counts as a thrashing in my eyes.
Not in tennis. But that's just a normal set. I don't think I've ever mentioned tennis before on the podcast.
I don't know how tennis points work.
Oh, really?
Doesn't it go 0 to 15 immediately was my sort of response there.
I'm not even getting into it.
This isn't exactly. So, let's get into it then, Jamie. P10 last year, even I should say. Haas, K-Mag, Mick Schumacher.
Yes. Are we, what, are we saying where we've predicted the team first?
Yes, go team and then drivers. Okay.
So I've put Haas 9th overall.
Right, okay.
Which maybe is optimistic based on last year. And I have put Schumacher 16th and Magnussen 18th.
Right, okay. Immediately this gets interesting then. I have gone Haas 10th, Mick 19th, and K-Mag 18th.
Ooh.
So you think Mick's going to outscore K-Mag?
Yeah, I think K-Mag obviously hasn't had a very good preparation for this season. In terms of he only got the seat a week before the season started. And obviously when drivers have been in reserve roles, say, or like they've had some sort of like in with the team, they carry on training as if they're an F1 driver. Someone like Hülkenberg would have done that. But K-Mag won't have done that at all. So,
K-Mag's, this is what I don't understand, Jamie. K-Mag's been racing all of last year. He's had to keep up still.
No, but
still.
It's not the levels of an F1 driver, though, is it? I know it's still
high
level.
It's not far away.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like he won't hit the ground running quite. And Schumacher knows the car a lot better. Has had a lot more time in the car this winter. And just, yeah, I think Schumacher's got a bit of a point to prove after it's really hard to rate him at all. So, yeah, I back him.
Okay, interesting. Now, I'm going to kind of play against that then. Often, we talk about the Mick Schumacher second season, don't we?
Yeah.
Famous for being a bit meh in his first season and then really coming on strong in his second. I think in Formula One, that's going to be 2022 to 2023.
Right.
Because, of course, last year's cars are pretty different. Not quite that, but obviously last year's cars were very different as well to this year. So I think 2023, Mick's going to be one to watch. However, 2022, I just think K-Mag's a little bit more adaptive. I mean, I don't think either of them are going to be scoring many points. I am willing to put my neck on the line, though, and say every driver this year is going to score points.
I don't think that will happen. But I would back the top 18 for me, which okay. includes both of these. So
yes, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I just think K-Mag, again, is probably, like you just said with Mick, going to come back with a point to prove. He's got that bit more experience. I think he's just going to have that little bit extra. If they don't score, I think he's just going to get him on count back as much as anything else.
Yeah.
But I just think K-Mag's got that little bit more pace still.
Fair enough. I'll have to wait and see. But there's a difference already, so it's going well.
Yes, yeah.
Next up, it's Williams, correct? No, Alfa Romeo.
Where have you ranked them for 2022?
I've been hyping up Alfa Romeo all winter long.
Yeah.
And testing has only contributed to that because they've actually got a very good car, if it will say.
When they get it working.
Yeah, it was a very good car for
six laps,
maybe.
Yeah.
Much like Alfa Romeo is in real life, really, or in the mainstream world.
Yeah, is that known in the media?
Yeah. I have put Alfa Romeo in 6th.
Oh!
I have put Bottas 10th and Zhou 13th in the championship.
Oh, Lord. Jamie, what have you done?
Yeah, I may come to live that one or regret
that
one.
I cannot wait for that one to haunt you.
Genuinely, their car was good in Bahrain especially. It was a very good car in terms of pace.
I mean, we always say, don't we, on this podcast, Jamie, we've mentioned it already today, testing is everything when it comes to Formula 1.
Oh, yeah. Well, testing doesn't matter until it's being my, like, confirmation bias for a certain team.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm
guessing you're putting them in the bin.
I have put Alfa Romeo, like last year, in 9th. I have gone Guan Yu Zhou in 20th and last place.
Are you serious? I'm not having this.
What?
20th?
Bottas in 17th.
Nah, you're waffling.
What's your justification? Right, so I'm sorry. Guan Yu Zhou ran a pretty mediocre F2 campaign last year. Let's not beat around the bush here.
It was good mediocre. I would say regular mediocre is like Jayant Dhruvala.
Yeah, but people are backing him to maybe win the title this year. Jayant Dhruvala is just the new Guan Yu Zhou in F2.
I disagree, but we'll have to wait and see. F2's coming back this weekend as well.
I mean, you're changing the subject desperately here. I'm just not convinced Guan Yu Zhou is going to have what it takes. And to be honest, I don't really rate Bottas that high anyway, especially his race crap. But I feel like, you know, if he can like do some mega lap at Monaco or something like that, sort of drag the Alfa Romeo again. The thing is, I don't think that there's going to be teams way off the pace this year. Like, I don't genuinely believe Haas and Alfa are going to be miles off every weekend. I just don't think they're going to be there on many weekends. And I think that, you know, it might be that Bottas scores 4 points this year and Guan Yu Zhou scores one or none. But I don't think it's going to be like 130 points to six or anything like that.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let us know in the comments, whose side are you on in terms of Alfa Romeo?
Team Sensible or Team Jamie?
Nah, they're going to be good. They are going to be good. Step up this year, back into the midfield.
I'm going to clip that so hard. so hard. P8 yeah. Then, Jamie. Is there going to be some sense?
So the next
team... sorry, not P8. Yeah,
Williams, isn't it?
Williams last year.
Yeah. You're going to love this one. I've put them 10th.
Okay.
I've put Albon 19th and Latifi 20th.
Okay.
I don't think they'll be that bad. Like... in terms of thinking like Haas last year or Williams in 2019, but I just don't think they'll be that good. I think they'll regress back to where they were in like 2020 almost, where it seems to have like flashes of speed, but they just don't get the weekend sorted enough to score points.
Yes, yeah.
So yeah, I don't think.
Yeah, sorry, carry on.
I don't think much of Williams this year, I don't think.
No, okay, fair. I mean, testing looked pretty good up until the last 2 days, didn't it? Then they had an absolute mare. I feel Williams are going to sort of be a bit of the opposite of you. Now, I've left them in P8 again for this season. I feel like they're going to have a quicker car, just Albon and Latifi aren't going to be able to deliver too often with it. So I put Latifi 16th, Albon 15th in the championship.
Fair enough. It's probably, I don't know if you agree with me, it's probably one of the weakest, probably the weakest lineup on the grid in terms of drivers.
It's close between the bottom three teams, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't say Alpha's near the bottom three, but...
well,
yeah.
I would say Bottas is pretty good, but obviously Guan Yu Zhou kind of drags the average down a bit more. I'd argue currently looking at the grid now without Mazepin, he's easily the weakest driver there.
No, he's not.
Oh, who's worse than...
he's better than Latifi.
I wouldn't even argue that.
I would. So there we go. But we'll move on from Guan Yu Zhou. We've already spoken about him.
Yeah, you keep bringing him back and it's not working for you, is it? You're desperately trying to bring him back into conversations today.
Yeah,
it's not happening. Martin then, Jamie. Sorry, were you going to carry on talking about Williams?
No, I wasn't going to carry on about Williams. They're trash. So let's move on. Aston, yeah, I don't think much of their season either, to be honest. I've put them 8th in the Constructors. And where have I put them? Vettel in 15th and Stroll in 17th.
Okay.
Yeah, not great from them, really. Obviously, Vettel's tended to like outperform Stroll, not by much, but last season he like had him just about. And would have had a lot more points. Yeah, I know, but you're going to bring up Baku for the 15th time.
And you're going to bring up Hungary to balance
and
out.
I'm going to bring up Hungary,
yeah. Fair enough, we know how this
but
goes.
But there was luck in both for and against both drivers last year, but
yes,
I think Vettel's has slightly more quality. As you would hope,
yeah,
as a four-time world champion, even if it was a decade ago.
Yeah, it alarms me that we still have to have this even consider it, isn't it, still, sometimes.
Yeah, statistically the third best driver of all time, just about beating Lance Stroll.
Depends which statistics.
Yeah, well, championships and wins, he's there, isn't he?
Championships, he's fourth. Tied fourth, not third.
Yeah, that's true. But he's right up there in terms of stats.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he will beat Stroll, but obviously I don't think the car will limit what you can do mostly. So yeah, testing wasn't great for Aston. I still don't like the how high the front wing is, just on an aesthetic point of view.
Yeah.
So maybe that's played into why I'm rating them so low, but we'll have to wait and see.
But a lot of teams have been doing that though as well, haven't they?
Yeah, but it still just looks very unnaturally high with like a huge tunnel underneath the front wing almost.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit weird still, isn't it?
Mm.
My midfield kind of gets a bit messy, so we'll carry on with that in just a moment. I have put Aston Martin finishing 7th, but I think we're going to see Vettel in 11th, Stroll in 12th.
How's that going to work then?
So I think the two drivers that finish behind them are going to finish very close behind them for two different teams.
Right,
and
yeah,
the two drivers... it is mathematically possible, it's just fairly unlikely it would work that way.
Yeah, we'll see a clearer picture when it comes to the end. But you think the drivers at least will do all right? I think that they'd probably take that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, Stroll last year was often going to be sort of a year he was really, really compared. I think, to be honest, he was kind of in a pretty decent situation getting Vettel in the team. Because if he matches him, people go, wow, he's as good as a four-time champion. If he doesn't, they're going... he's not quite as good as a four-time world champion.
Yeah.
So he kind of really had nothing to lose going up against Seth last year.
Unless he got
year.
Rinsed, which didn't happen.
And, so, of course...
Yeah.
Let's not... I mean, Stroll is not a driver either of us rank highly, is he? Let's be real.
No, not really.
But he's not woeful anymore.
No, not at all. And, like, he's almost had the same thing as Verstappen, obviously, to a lesser level. But when you come into F1 so young...
I was going to say, where on earth is this going?
When you come into F1 so young, you have that experience building up for years. So he's been in F1, what? This is, what, 17?
Yeah, 20, sixth 20, season.
This is his sixth year.
Yeah.
And he's still 23, maybe?
24.
22,
surely.
23, isn't he?
No, he didn't start Formula 1 at 16.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's 24, isn't he?
He's 23. He's 24 in October.
Oh, fair enough.
So, yeah, he's basically... Like Lewis Hamilton debuted at 23. So he's got the... Like,
is he the next Lewis Hamilton?
Absolutely not. But he's got, like, the enthusiasm of youth and the quickness that comes with the reactions when you're a bit younger.
And the money of knowing if I screw it up, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And he's also got the experience of 6 years, which is a long time in F1.
Yep.
So he's definitely respectable now, but he's nothing special.
No,
maybe
exactly.
That's a bit of an oxymoron, but yeah.
I mean, often, I mean, more than you, I've described Aston Martin as a has-been and a never-was in terms of their lineup, which might be a little bit harsh.
A little bit harsh, maybe.
But I think there's some rhyme and reason to it. I think Aston Martin as well, though, this year, you know, they're desperately after a bit of a rebuild. Last year was not good. They've very much put a lot of focus into this year. They could hypothetically be dark horses, couldn't they, Jamie? You know, Lawrence Stroll's put a lot of money into the base.
Yeah. I don't think that'll
happen. No, I don't think that'll come to fruition, but they are a team. If both of us ended up in a coma tomorrow and we got told Aston Martin finished third at the end of the year, it wouldn't be the most unbelievable thing in the world.
Well, they technically finished third 2 years ago, didn't they?
Exactly. This is what I mean.
Point. Although with a 15-point deduction they didn't, but yeah. I don't know. It's the midfield, basically all of it, is super difficult to predict, but we're doing it anyway, so we can laugh at ourselves in 9 months.
Exactly. When I get most of them right and you don't, because you rate Alfa Romeo for some reason.
You just watch Bottas podium.
Oh, maybe eighth. Anyway, El Plan then, Jamie. Oh, sorry, Alpine.
Alpine.
You know what I should say. Funny memes.
Yes. Yeah, we're very cool. I've put Alpine in 7th place.
I've realised I think I've put them in the wrong championship order. Should we have gone AlphaTauri first?
Yes, we should do AlphaTauri first.
Okay, let's do AlphaTauri first.
AlphaTauri I've put in 5th place, which would be their best ever finish. I realised that I only did my championship, my constructors, after my drivers, and I realised I kind of had to put them there. So maybe it's a bit optimistic, but I've put Gasly in 9th and Tsunoda in 12th.
Right, okay.
Isn't far from where they finished last year. Gasly was definitely 9th last year. I think Tsunoda was 14th or 15th maybe. But yeah, I expect him to step up because basically he was pretty rubbish throughout 20 races in a row last year.
I was going to say, Bahrain he was good, Abu Dhabi he was good. It's the 20 races in the middle he wasn't particularly.
Yeah, so I think Tsunoda will step up, and if he doesn't, then Liam Lawson's coming for him, who's quickly becoming my dark horse for F2, but we'll get onto that, I'm sure, at some point.
We're going to have to do a bonus podcast.
Tsunoda, I think, will take a step up, but I still think Gasly will pocket him quite easily. Gasly, of course, has a lot of experience of mixing it with cars he shouldn't be and finishing 9th in the championship, so that's why I've stuck in there again.
Fair enough.
The top four teams, but ahead of everyone else.
Well, we've gone pretty similar then with AlphaTauri. I've also put them 5th, with Gasly in 9th place. I, however, have put Tsunoda back in 14th. I think this year, though, he's going to be a lot stronger. I think he's actually just going to get quite unlucky, to be honest. I think, like I said, my midfield kind of gets a bit muddy, so I think Tsunoda's going to finish 14th, but right behind one of the Alpines, which we'll talk about in a second, and both Aston Martins. I think he's going to be right behind them. And on
so
paper, it's not going to look like a great season, but actually it does
points
pretty well.
Be quite low, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sort of talking like 10 points between these four at most.
Yeah. And we've seen the last few years, it's been very close in the midfield in terms of points difference.
Exactly. I feel like, again, we're kind of setting ourselves up. You know, we always talk about AlphaTauri and sort of where either of those drivers could go. Both of them are in complete control of their own fate. However, I feel like this is going to be a year where Gasly again proves himself and doesn't move somewhere else for whatever reason. and Tsunoda proves himself but gets unlucky, so they keep him on again.
I feel like one of those seats will definitely have Dennis Hauger in it in 2023.
It depends how he gets on in F2.
And one of them will either be Tsunoda if he does all right, or it'll be Liam Lawson.
So you don't think Gasly's going to be there at all,
then? I think he'll find a new place to live somewhere.
A new place to live?
Yeah, maybe. Fair enough. Maybe Brackley. We'll have to wait and see.
I can't quite see him going Brackley just yet, Jamie. But, yeah. I mean, AlphaTauri again are a weird team, aren't they? I mean, we always say this, but it doesn't really matter where they finish. It doesn't matter to them.
Not at all.
At all.
No.
They could finish 10th, and it doesn't really
make a difference. They did have flashes of speed, almost like last year, where they showed decent pace at some points, and it just fall away. I always forget Gasly qualified second in Qatar and then finished 11th.
Like, you know what? So would I. He didn't qualify second.
Well,
did he?
No, he didn't, but he started second.
Yeah.
And then finished 11th. It's like, it basically summed up AlphaTauri's season.
Because they bottled the strategy, didn't they? Put them on a two-stop.
Yeah. But
Alpine, Jamie.
Alpine.
Funny
memes, again. I've spoiled my... the suspense is building for my constructors placing for this team, but I've spoiled it a minute ago. So, 7th place. And where I put them? Alonso in 11th and Ocon in 14th.
Okay.
So, kind of in that muddy midfield place. Alonso always has got the best out of the car, so I think he will do again, even if it breaks down all the time. And Ocon, I've never rated that highly. I think he'll get quite comfortably pocketed again.
Yeah.
By Alonso, and 14th place, I don't know. I think he will have a long-term future in F1, but he'll sort of be one of those guys who's just sort of there and doesn't ever really do very much.
Yeah, this is what I think where it gets quite funny, because I put Alpine in 6th, but I put Alonso in 10th and Ocon in 13th, so I think they're both going to finish higher in the championship,
right?
But lower in the constructors.
No, I put Alpine 7th. No, sorry, so
I think they're going to finish higher in the constructors.
And one place higher each.
Yeah.
In the drivers.
Yeah. All gets a bit complicated, doesn't it, around this midfield. I think this year is going to be either egg for Alpine, or I think it's going to be a year of what could have been.
I
think they might have a car that can muscle its way in towards that top four, and their reliability is going to be woeful.
Fair enough. I struggle to believe that any one team will struggle that much reliability, just because we haven't really seen that apart from Red Bull 2018 was probably the last one I can think of.
The only reason I say that is, of course, after the engine freeze now, a lot of teams are going to be trying to push to get all the performance out of it because they won't be able to do anything with it. And I feel like Alpine are the team that are going to misjudge that.
And they've got no dummy team to play with as well, whereas everyone else kind of has. So yeah, I can see that happening. I don't think their car pace will be there really to take a candle to the top three, in my opinion. But I think they could definitely easily be best of the rest if it falls in their way. So.
I mean, they had a couple of, like, for example, again, Qatar last year.
Yeah,
they had a pretty
good car
there. Sometimes
they just had random pace. Even Saudi, Ocon almost beat Bottas in a straight fight. So
I mean, it's never really a straight fight.
Never really a straight fight.
Bottas races wheel to wheel like he's got one arm tied behind his back.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, they're a weird team because they should be doing way better with budgets. But then you say that about a lot of teams, because Aston should also be doing better with their budget.
Yeah.
But,
and now pretty much every team's got the same budget.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. So yeah, behind, well, for me at least, they're behind Alfa Romeo and Alfa Tauri, which I'm sure they'd be disappointed
which
by.
Is hilarious. I cannot...
Oh, if it comes true, you will not hit the end of this.
Yeah, I know, but it won't, so I'm not worried. I mean, it's just... I don't get how you can look at Alfa Romeo with Bottas and Guan Yu Zhou and think, oh, they're going to finish sixth.
Guan Yu Zhou has done perfectly capable so far. He's very good. We'll move on.
I don't get you. I can't believe I'm on a podcast with you and we've called it Knowing Wheel when you say Guan Yu Zhou's done quite well so far.
He has. He hasn't stuffed it like a lot of other drivers did.
Right, okay.
In their rookie seasons. It's all good.
He hasn't had a rookie season.
Well, he's had a rookie test.
That doesn't matter. Right, anyway. So, top four then, Jamie. I'm right in saying we've put in the same order.
Well,
not the same order,
we've got the same top four. I'd be surprised if we got them in the same order.
So would I, to be honest. Let's go then. First of all, McLaren.
McLaren I've been so boring this one, but I've put him fourth.
Okay.
And I've put Norris seventh, Ricciardo eighth, which is exactly the same for last year as all three of those drivers finished there.
Okay.
So, yeah, quite simple. I think they will maintain and Ricciardo will do a bit better than last year, although he finished eighth last year as well. But I still think Norris will beat him. I also, yeah, I don't think they'll stretch to the top three. I think it's quite... Well, the buzz around the paddock seems to be that Ferrari are good now. So I expect McLaren to sort of be in their no man's land between like the top three and everyone else. And yeah, it might be quite a boring season to be a fan of them, unfortunately, because they've got a lot of fans. But I don't expect that much. I'd be surprised if they win a race. I think I may have said they would have raced in my...
I think you said every team's going to win a race.
Yeah,
in the
probably.
I think you predicted about 38 Grand Prix victories this year.
Probably. I think I said everyone's going to win in like one, and then Ferrari going to win about 15.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. McLaren are maybe a little, they're like full victim to the fact that I think the top three will do very well, and they're, this is where they land.
Okay. I mean, I can understand that logic. That's fair enough, Jamie. You know, McLaren are sort of in that weird position, aren't they, still, where they're not a factory team, but they're pretty much as close to a factory team as you could get without being one. I have put them in third, with Lando sixth and Danny Ric seventh.
Hmm. I wonder who put fourth out of my top three, then. That's surprising.
Yeah. Now...
I have to wait and see.
Again, I feel like they're going to come on strong this year. I think the big difference for them will be that Daniel Ricciardo will actually be pretty much a match for Lando this year. And that's going to push them both on to do good things. Is sort of my main thoughts and feelings.
It does make sense. And third would be a good achievement, I think, for McLaren.
Yes, based
on
especially
the
might when you
of the other three.
Exactly, when you consider what sort of top four we've got now. Yeah. I also feel as well, because of their financial issues over the last few years... that they're going to be pretty good managing the money this season, unlike the other three big teams that kind of just throw money at problems and can't do that as much anymore.
Yeah, potentially, and that could come into effect. And they've got a lot more wind tunnel time than like Mercedes and Red Bull, for instance, because of the percentages, how they work.
Yes,
so,
yeah,
we'll have to wait and see. But I think,
we certainly will. Oh, it's all getting spicy in it.
Come on, then. It'll get interesting.
Let's hear it, Jamie. Ferrari P1?
Ferrari, I have put in P1.
I cannot believe you're going for a Ferrari year. What is your thing with the Italians doing well?
I don't know. But interestingly, I've put Leclerc second and Sainz third.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm completely buying into testing times, which I shouldn't be doing. I should know by now. But, yeah, it's Ferrari's year. They're going to do it. Constructors' Championship. But, unfortunately, no drivers. Kimi Raikkonen will still be the latest driver. Champion for
Imagine
Ferrari.
Imagine you win two constructors and no drivers.
Yeah. In what, 15 years?
15
would that
years.
Be?
Yeah.
But I think, everything's set for them to have a really good year. Testing went basically as flawlessly as it could have gone, which is surprising for Ferrari. They're not bigging themselves up, which is also good. It's just everyone else is bigging them up for them.
Yep.
So, yeah. I think, obviously, Lewis Hamilton doesn't always tell the truth in interviews. But he's obviously been quoted, to put it lightly. He's
looks
saying,
at Australia 2009.
Yes, that's true. He said if Bahrain happened tomorrow, which it basically does, Ferrari would be the fastest car based on testing. But he said that for the last 6 years. So take that with a pinch of salt. But I'm backing him.
You are backing Ferrari. You are a brave, brave man, D183. Fair play to you. I have gone... Ferrari P2.
Bottler. That's what you are.
I've said Leclerc also P2. However, a bit like Yuki Tsunoda, I think Sainz is going to get screwed this year, and I put him P5.
Wow. That's a bit low.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of just looked at it and thought Ferrari are quite famous for picking a number one driver. I feel Leclerc is going to come into this year and wants to prove absolutely everything that he's still top dog in that team.
Yep.
And I just feel like Sainz, is going to get a bit unlucky this year as well.
Yeah, and especially if the top three are close, then it does make sense.
Yeah, top four,
especially as
in my eyes.
In my head, I'm imagining who you've put third.
Yeah. And you know who I put third. I already told you it's McLaren.
No, I mean in the drivers.
Oh, drivers.
Piece,
okay.
Piece together yours.
Right, okay. Yeah, this is where it gets difficult, isn't it?
So, yeah, it makes sense. I think Ferrari... if they don't have a good year this year, like, there's going to be, like, no Ferrari fans left.
I don't quite think that's going to be true, Jamie.
Yeah, that's true. They supported them through 2020, I suppose. But, yeah, everything points to them being top. So if they don't deliver, it'll be so upsetting.
Except for their track record in the last 15 years.
Yeah. And imagine the redemption arc of Leclerc losing his first win at Bahrain 3 years ago and then starting his championship season with
Bahrain. Oh, I'm not saying they won't be quick in Bahrain. I never said they won't win the first race of the year.
Yeah, I suppose.
But
we'll have to wait and see. I mean, we both put Leclerc second, so...
Yeah, I put Leclerc second. I think this is going to be a real character-building year for him and proving... You know, again, there's all these discussions, isn't it, about, you know, Max Verstappen is definitely going to be the driver that dominates the future. I genuinely believe Leclerc is on par with him.
I think Max has got slightly more now, but Leclerc definitely could be right there.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Red Bull then, Jamie. I think this is where things get spicy.
This is where we're going to disagree.
Yeah. I mean, we've disagreed on most of them today.
That's true, actually. This is where we're going to massively disagree. I've put Red Bull second in the Constructors.
Okay.
I've put Verstappen champion back-to-back.
Really?
And Perez in fifth.
Expecting this.
Red Bull's last day of testing was incredible. They dropped an absolute bomb on the paddock. They're going to literally win the first race.
I was genuinely not expecting that from Mr. 183.
Big up Max. He's now my championship favourite. If I put money on it, I'd put money on Max right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
I shouldn't be listening to Hamilton, but I am. Because, yeah, Mercedes have downplayed it so hard and actually feels like they're not confident, which even in the previous years, when they say they're not confident, you kind of know they are.
This I would just like to point you back to last year.
Yeah, but they didn't have the fastest car for a lot of the season. And this year seems like they're even less confident.
Last year, their testing was awful, Jamie. I think people forget just how bad last year's winter test went.
There's only, 3 days of testing?
Yeah.
I suppose. But it was pretty awful. But then they won the first race, but Red Bull should have won that race, really.
I cannot believe you've said Max Verstappen, two-time Formula One World Champion. Yeah. He really is going to be Alonso, isn't he?
No more championships ever. We do hope
for
that. But yeah, I think... This is another year of Red Bull. They seem like so confident in themselves. And I mean, Sebastian
confidence
Vettel.
Confidence has never hurt a Formula One team.
Sebastian Vettel won 2010. Then, well, it was a close title for his first one. The second season, he absolutely battered everyone. So.
I love the fact you're comparing Max Verstappen to Sebastian Vettel.
Well, Vettel at the time
was
good.
So, or they had an OP car, one or the other.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone...
You're going to say fourth, aren't you?
I've put them fourth.
Oh, no.
I just feel like, again, there's all this anticipation, all this hype, and I think they're going to over-push the car. I've gone Verstappen fourth. I think, as always, he's going to drag everything out of it. But I think Perez is going to struggle this year, and he's going to finish eighth in the championship.
Wow. So who, behind what, both McLarens?
Both McLarens. And,
yeah, both Mercedes, both Ferraris as well, I imagine.
Yeah.
Fair. I've put Perez a bit behind Verstappen, but I don't think we'd do
I think they're
going to
be very close behind McLaren.
Yeah.
But I think they're just going to miss out at the end of the year.
Fair. I look forward to seeing Red Bull having the pace to fight for wins and McLaren being in the midfield. And
Oh, don't. I look forward to Alfa Romeo not scoring any points all year, but hey, how? yeah, that leaves us one team left then, Jamie.
Yeah, and
Mercedes,
I feel like
P3.
I'm going to get clowned on massively in
you
October.
You probably are.
Yeah, I've put them third.
October? You reckon they won't have the championship wrapped up by then?
how many championships is it in a row for them? Eight.
And you think they're suddenly just going to go third?
Yes, and I've put Hamilton fourth and Russell sixth. So I've not given Hamilton the discredit of losing to Russell, which
fourth.
I was tempted to do. Yeah, behind Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz.
When was the
three.
Last time Hamilton finished fourth in a Formula One World Championship? Was it near enough 10 years ago?
It would have been 2013, right?
Did he
finish
fourth there?
Since then. 2013 was... No, but he was third that year, actually, I think.
I want to say he was third, yeah, because although Rosberg got more wins...
No, Rosberg was gone.
Oh, no, he was fourth. He was 10 points behind Webber.
Webber was third. Wow.
Yeah.
So Alonso.
Well, Webber clutched it in the final race.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, I think I looked. I made this list while I was at work this morning. Had a look at it again before we started recording. I was like, I should probably shift Mercedes up a little bit, but I didn't. So
you are
there. We
a brave,
go.
Brave man.
Hamilton Fair to play. Beat Russell, but I think Russell will do well. I just think it might take him a little bit to bed in for the team.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing you're on the hype train for them, to be fair.
All aboard, choo-choo. Mercedes, P1. Hamilton, P1. George Russell, P3.
Wow.
I just don't see a world where Hamilton gets, let's be fair, robbed last year and doesn't come back into F1 this year completely middle fingers to everyone and just goes, you know what, I'm just going to win an 8th world title now out of spite as much as anything else. I just don't see a world where that isn't what's possible. Hamilton even said, not Hamilton is always, as we've just said now, he downplays it, doesn't he? He plays the media and everything like that incredibly well. Even he said, you thought I was good last year, you haven't seen me in my final form.
Yeah, but Ayrton Senna said that about Bruno Senna. So
that's very different. That's someone describing their nephew Carty against Lewis Hamilton, 7-time Formula 1 World Champion, talking about himself. I just can't see a world this year where Hamilton doesn't just completely try and bend everyone over and push Formula 1 back into his will.
I don't think I have the car to do it, unfortunately.
I don't think they might struggle in the first couple of races, but I don't think they're going to be any further off than they were last year early on.
It is hard to... I mean, I know I've done it and I probably shouldn't have, but it's hard to see Mercedes dropping anywhere outside the top two.
Yeah.
Really. But I say that when I've put them third, so maybe I'm wrong.
And we're going up against Ferrari as well, which is just easy mind games.
Yeah, you could just say...
I think Mercedes... Again, it's just everything else. It's the culmination of the fact they did their engine startup last... What was it? Early Jan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The fact they passed the crash test in mid-Jan. Everything's been pushed so far forward this year. Yeah. I just feel like Mercedes are going to just... Like I said, bend the Formula One world to their will this year.
And I do think, like, by his own admission almost, a lot of mid-season Hamilton wasn't performing as well as he could have done.
No. And maybe I don't think he had the car capable of either.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had a couple of rough weekends.
But races like Austria, Imola. Yeah. Like,
which historically he's never been particularly good at.
Yeah, he's never been great at Spielberg.
And Imola, he was unlucky.
Yeah, but he got...
But he was unlucky
the
and then very lucky, of course, but...
So I think, he will have a lot of motivation this year to get back to the top.
Yeah. And the fact, let's not forget, really, in those last four races last year, he didn't put a foot wrong.
No. Well, he should have overtaken Max at Saudi, but we're not getting to that.
He overtook him and won that race, if I remember correctly, mate. 26 points, help the boys.
So should we just run through our, like, top six?
I'd say... Run through your teams and then run through your entire championship order for me, Jamie. As much so when I edit this, I can make sure I've done the graphic right.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And for Spotify listeners.
Yeah.
We do think about you as well.
We do.
So, definitely. My teams, I've got Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes, McLaren in fourth, AlphaTauri fifth, Alfa Romeo in sixth.
You can't say it without laughing.
Alpine in seventh, Aston eighth, Haas ninth, and Williams in tenth.
So the only team we've got in the same place is AlphaTauri.
Oh, wow. I don't even think they'll finish fifth. I had to put them there based on my drivers. So if I had to put money on it, I'd put them sixth again because that's where they always finish. So, yeah. But that's where they ended up. And then run through the whole drivers as well?
Yeah, go through your entire drivers' championship.
Verstappen, Leclerc, Sainz. Hamilton, Perez, Russell rounding out the top six. Norris and Ricciardo 7th and 8th, Gasly 9th, Bottas 10th, Alonso 11th, Tsunoda in 12th, Guanyu Zhou 13th, Ocon 14th, Vettel 15th, Schumacher 16th, Stroll 17th, 18th Magnussen, 19th Albon, and Latifi in last. There you have it.
Confirmed. Oh, this is going to be... Order. One of us is going to completely destroy the other this year.
I know.
I've gone there for, just to quickly recap, Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull, AlphaTauri, Alpine, Aston Martin, Williams, Alfa Romeo, Haas. Constructors-wise, Drivers' Championship-wise, even I have gone Lewis Hamilton, 8-time Formula One World Champion, Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Max Verstappen, Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris, Danny Ric, Sergio Perez, Gasly and Alonso rounding out the top 10, Vettel, Stroll, Ocon, Tsunoda, Albon, Latifi, Bottas, K-Mag, Mick Schumacher and Guan Yu Zhou.
I'm still fuming about your 20th place.
One of us is going to be so wrong in this year. I think last year when we reviewed
our predictions and they were nigh on the same, basically. Yeah. So it was a bit dead. This year it will not be dead.
2022. The thing is, isn't it? As much as we've got drivers that we're fans of, I think we both can agree, we just love the idea of not really knowing exactly. Yeah. I mean, that'll all be crushed come Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
All that, but right now, like, I'm genuinely getting really, really hyped
for
F1 2022. It does genuinely feel like anything could happen. I mean, all I think about with this is I can't imagine what we would have been like had this, like, if we were doing a podcast for F1 2009.
Oh, yeah.
Like, imagine we got into that season.
People would have been hating on anyone who's hyping Braun up. It's like, oh, it's such a
shame.
They
weren't even a team.
Yeah. It would have been like, if you don't predict Ferrari and McLaren top two, you're a clown.
You're insane.
Oh, 2009, what a year. Go watch it.
I reckon at some point we have to do like a classic season review of that or something.
Yeah, so 2009 was incredible.
But right.
Top was clear.
Jamie.
But there we go.
Before we round it off, though, as it is race week, we can finally do race predictions. Pole position, top three, who's coming out on top first race weekend back?
Oh, that's a difficult one. I'm going to go pole position, Charles Leclerc.
Damn it! That's the one I want to go with.
I will go winner, Verstappen.
Okay.
He's never won Bahrain, is he? No.
No,
no, he's never.
So.
Second place, I will go for Leclerc.
Okay.
And third, who's going to finish third?
So, let's just recap there. You said less than 10 minutes ago.
I did.
Imagine Charles Leclerc wins after being robbed of it a couple of years ago.
Well, I said imagine. I'm not imagining it now. Yeah, Verstappen, Leclerc, and Checo Perez in third.
Okay. Interesting.
Red Bull OP.
Fair enough. I am therefore going to say Hamilton, pole position.
There's not a chance. If Hamilton's on
pole... You've gone Charles Leclerc, so I feel like I kind of have to.
Yeah.
But I am going to say Charles Leclerc race victory, Hamilton P2, Carlos Sainz P3.
So you're thinking Red Bull are in the mud. I'm thinking Mercedes are in the mud. So I feel like you're probably more likely to be correct.
Probably. Often is the way. I cannot wait to see just how badly wrong we get this.
Can we do a very, very brief F2, 1-2-3 in the championship?
I think that seems fair. I will quickly need to get up the F2. Actually, no, I know pretty much where I'm going with it. Let me just double check, make sure I haven't forgot anyone obvious for 2022. I'm prepared to make a top three there. I think cool. I know who I'm going with. Jamie? No, you're going first.
Oh, am I going first?
You're
okay.
going first.
Dennis Hauger to win the whole championship.
Okay.
Liam Lawson, second place. And Teo Pourchaire in third. Was that your order as well?
Yes, it was. Right, I'm going to change it. Liam Lawson, champion. Dennis Hauger P2, Teo Pourchaire P3. But very, very close between all three. We have to do F2 shows this year, please. I feel like this could...
I don't usually have time to watch it, but we'll try.
I'm going to try and record them this year so I can watch them. That's how hyped I am ready for F3 this year. And even if that means I sit down and we watch them together on a recording or something like that.
Oh, no. We do watch along late.
I just feel like F2 this year could be... Because the thing is, we've spoken about this before, haven't we? There hasn't been a proper championship fight. 2020 was kind of... 2021
yeah,
was
like
pretty dominant.
Mid fight, wasn't it?
Yeah. 2022, F2. Because, I mean, 2019 wasn't a real
fight.
You'd
argue the last one was 2016, wasn't it? Between Gio and Gasly.
2018, I feel like, did.
No, Russell.
Yeah, no, Russell dominated. Charles Leclerc dominated. Yeah, no, 2016, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But F2 this year is going to get an absolute ding dong, I reckon.
Hopefully. And we are really I really like Liam Lawson. I want to see him in F1, so I hope he does well.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm so hyped, Jamie. I'm so hyped. Bahrain this weekend. F1 finally back. You've said Charles Leclerc pole, Verstappen Leclerc Perez podium. Indeed. I've said Hamilton pole, Leclerc Hamilton Sainz podium. Both of us are backing Leclerc, and that's it.
yeah, we like Charles.
We do rate Charles.
Second place in the championship in 2022. Confirmed.
We know wheel. Anything else to add, though, Jamie, before we round this one out? Do we want to put 20 quid on our predictions this year?
Absolutely not.
No.
Oh, I'll give you... I reckon the loser has to get a tweet on the other person's account.
Okay, that seems fair. Yeah,
I never tweet anything.
Who gets more? So out of 30 predictions is this? All drivers, all teams. Whoever gets more
the most, right,
gets to
yes.
put a tweet out on the other person's account.
That's going to come back. I'd never tweet, so it's going to be so obvious.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be Formula 1 related anyway, isn't it? No matter what we tweet. So I'm prepared to do that. I think, though, we've just about wrapped up everything we needed to today, Jamie.
Yeah.
I'm sure now we're going to have forgot something glaringly obvious from the last week of Formula 1.
I'll do a quick check of Twitter, because something will have broken in the last hour.
Normally something breaks mid-podcast, doesn't it? Or right after, but...
No, nothing's happened.
Oh, F1 2022, boys. Let us know your
predictions. Yes. 20.
Yeah, please let us know everything down below who you're predicting. And, of course, your top three for Bahrain as well there. But that'll round us out then for the final time in the winter break. We've made it back to Formula 1. We'll be back next Monday with the Bahrain GP recap and review. Or next Tuesday, even, I should say, when the podcast does go live. But thank you all so much for hanging on in there over the winter. And, yeah, really... really excited to get back in. Formula One, it's back.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.